What a wonderful song. I know Dave knows that's one of my favorites, if not the favorite. Wonderful, wonderful, the grace of Jesus. But that's about the last time we're going to talk about that today. We're going to look at a portion that's a very difficult portion for most of the people in this world. It's a very difficult portion to teach and to study. I think I've got several people that I can thank for the fact that I drew the short straw and I'm up here today. Not the least of which is our brother Gordy, who's recovering from surgery. He was originally scheduled to take this portion in Romans. Last week, our brother Rocky, did an excellent job in giving us a summary of the book of Romans. And by giving us the introduction to the book written by the apostle in the first 17 verses of chapter 1. And that portion concluded with the very famous verses 16 and 17, the introduction portion, where I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first, and also for the Greek, or Gentiles. For in it, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. So Paul, in writing this book, concludes his introduction by the fact that he wants to talk about the gospel of Christ. And he, like me, for the next two or three chapters, don't talk about it again. He switches the subject. He says in verse 18, but the wrath of God, or some Bibles say, but the wrath of God, some Bibles say, for the wrath of God, is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Because what may be known of God is made manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. He's switching gears. He's changing from talking about the gospel to talking about the unrighteousness and the ungodliness of men. That's a substantial transition. And that's what we're going to talk about mostly for the day today. You say, why can't he intermingle a little of the gospel in with what he's going to talk about today? First of all, to come to the Lord and to know him as your Savior, as your Redeemer, there has to be a realization that you need to be saved. There has to be a realization that you're ungodly and unrighteous in your natural self. When I was a small child, literally at the age of about 5, I took a trip with my parents, and some of you have heard this story before. And we drove through the mountains of Colorado and Utah. And in that day, the roads through those mountains were not like the four-lane, eight-lane freeways that we have today. They're more like the roads that were in Ecuador in the mountains, I'm sure. Two lanes, straight up, straight down. Narrow lanes. And as we drove through those mountains, my uncle, who was driving the automobile, was exceeding what I felt was the safe speed to be driving. I was only a youngster, but it was making me nervous. And as we came around a corner of one of those mountain curves, suddenly in front of us, there were a group of people, no emergency vehicles, just a group of people. And they were flagging everybody down, stop, stop, we need your help. A car had just gone over the edge. And as I looked on the side of the road down that edge of that street, I saw that car totally engulfed in flames. And I surmised, and it turned out to be true, that nobody lived through that accident. I was only five. I had heard the word. And for the first time in my life that I remember, I realized that had my uncle drove over that curve and gone down that cliff, my soul would be in hell. I was not saved. And I knew from the Word of God that if you haven't accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, your sins will take you to hell. You say, well, you were only five. Yeah, but I was old enough to know. And I consider myself old enough to have been accountable. And that's the way I saw it, standing on the edge of that road that day. And that's kind of where Paul is going to bring you to in these verses today. He wants you to understand that you're standing on the edge of a precipice. And that if you're not saved, if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're a sinner, and you're an unrighteous sinner, you're an ungodly sinner. And this verse tells us, verse 18, that the wrath of God abides upon us, the people in that condition. You see, you need to know that to understand where you are, to understand where you want to go. And what you want to do about it. And what God has provided. But before we can go on and talk about those other things, the Apostle Paul says, let's talk about this right now. And so, he, as it were, writes these next 2.5 chapters about God, ungodliness and unrighteousness. The scene and the way he presents this reminds many and me very much of a scene in a courtroom. And it's not unlike that. He presents this evidence in this chapter from chapter 1, verse 18 through 3 and verse 20 is like the case opening statement and case for the prosecution in a courtroom. And the judge is God. And so he wants to make it very clear where you stand in your natural state. In the first few verses that we could read here, well, let's read 19, 20, Because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are without excuse. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were they thankful, and they became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Boy, there's an opening statement for a lawyer if I ever saw one. You see, God's made it very clear. You have had opportunity already to accept God. But these people had rejected God. These people had denied God. You say, well, wait a minute. Who taught them? Who told them? God says they knew about creation. God says they knew about their own selves and the marvelousness that I created when I created them. And yet they have rejected it, and they have turned away from it. They could have known if they had been willing to be serious with God and consider God and what he was and what he had done in creation of both the universe and themselves. But they were foolish. They turned away from it. And that's the case that man is born into in this world. And so it is that even though they professed to be wise and they said they were wise in the things of this world, God says they were foolish. They were fools. And so we go on then, and although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were they thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they were fools. Now, if you go on and read the next several verses over to verse, say, 29, you will read that God decided to let them have their own way. God decided, okay, that's the way you want it. Have at it. But he points out that not only did they deny God, not only did they turn away from God, they conducted their lives in such a way that their lives were full of sin. Their individual actions supported the case. There are several things that are listed in these next several verses. Sin, homosexual acts, immorality, covetousness, maliciousness, envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness or whisperers, backbiters, haters of God. That's quite a list. And I got news for you. That isn't the complete list. There was no effort to make this a complete list. We have the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt not steal. We have other commandments that God and Christ has given us throughout the Bible. You say, well, wait a minute. I'm not as bad as some of these people. I am not guilty of all of those things. Be careful. Don't look at it the way man looks at it. Our brother, I'm sorry, I forgot his name. It's in the prison, in the jail. Yeah, Joseph. He murdered somebody. He pulled a gun out and he sought to shoot him and shot him and killed him. That's murder. There's no doubt about it. But what does the Lord Jesus say? In Matthew chapter 5, the Lord Jesus says, regarding the intent of the heart versus the blatant action. He says that in Matthew 5, it's just as bad to say, call a person raka, which is something like empty head, literally interpreted, or to hate, some Bibles interpret it as hate, another person, or dislike, or discredit, as it is to murder them. If you're guilty of one, you're guilty of the other. It's all the same thing, God's side. In that verse, in those verses in Matthew chapter 5 later, he talks about adultery. You say, well, no way, man. I mean, I've never done that. There's nothing like that. Wait a minute. He says, if you lust after a person of the opposite sex, that's just as bad as adultery. That you can read that in Matthew chapter 5, verse 27. Now, you see, it's not only the hardcore, blatant act that makes you guilty of some of these sins. Sometimes it's the thought. Sometimes it's the intent of the heart. Sometimes you're turning against God when you don't mean to or think you are. In Galatians chapter 5, God says, foolish talk, or telling stories, or telling jokes, or belittling others. All of these things fit into this category called sin. Are you a sinner? I don't mean did you break the Ten Commandments. We all know you can't do that. Are you a sinner? Have you done some of these things that I've just enumerated? Is sin in your life? Is sin a way of life for you? Maybe you feel a little uncomfortable as I ask that question. Believe me, you're no more uncomfortable than I am when I think about my own life. Sin is prevalent in our lives. The apostle is just trying to point out that we must face the fact that there is unrighteousness, that there is ungodliness, and it's our lives. He wants to help us, but he's willing to let you go your own way. But remember the first words of the first verse of this portion that we're studying. But the wrath of God abideth on all unrighteousness and ungodliness. That means, my friend, we're all sinners. We're all guilty. And the wrath of God in our natural state would abide upon us. So it behooves us to consider these words that the apostle is talking about in this portion. In verse 32 of the first chapter, we read, who knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death. Are deserving of death. Those who practice these things are deserving of death. That's not my words. That might not be my wish for your life or for your future. But those are God's words. This is written in God's holy pages that you might understand them and that you might consider them. Now we've read already how that man has turned away from God. How that man in his natural state desires to turn away from God. I saw a statement on television this past week. And it said that concerning homosexual marriage and gay marriage, etc., that's so popular right now, just how popular it is. According to the report of a CNN poll, 57% of Americans, U.S. citizens, think gay rights is okay. And it's worse, according to the author of this article, it's worse in Europe and other countries. That makes it pretty blatant, don't it? That makes it pretty obvious how men would turn against God. But the death sentence rules over them. If we read in Romans chapter 5, verse 21, we read, "So that sin has reigned in death." So that sin has reigned in death. In Romans chapter 6, in verse 23, a verse that most of us can quote as well, "For the wages of sin is death." So then the author goes on in the first verse of chapter 2 to say, we're all without excuse. We know what we are. We know what the consequences of our life will be. It's not my word. It's God's word. And so, you are unexcusable, O man, whoever you are who judge. And then he goes on to talk about the judgments and God's righteousness in judging and man's unrighteousness in judging and seeking to tell others how they should live their lives. God don't like that. You know, he told those with the lady, the Samaritan lady, those of you who are without the first stone, go ahead, throw stones at her. But if you don't have that unrighteousness, be careful about throwing stones. And so in Romans chapter 2, he talks a little about them judging people and how unrighteous it would be for that to happen. God will judge, and God will judge each one according to their deeds. In verses 11 and 12, he says, God shows no partiality. God is very clear. Guilty or not guilty. Sin is sin. You can candy coat it. You can make it sound good. You can make it sound like something that's acceptable to 57% of the people. But it's still sin. A little later in chapter 3, I believe it is. Yeah, chapter 3 and verse 3. We read, what if the whole world? But what if some do not believe? Will their unbelief make the faithfulness of God without effect? Certainly not. Indeed, let God be true and every man a liar. If this makes you uncomfortable, if you've never come to the Lord Jesus Christ to know Him as your Savior, my friend, don't think that you're going to be able to hide behind the fact that, well, I don't do anything other people don't do. Don't turn to think you can hide behind the fact that, look, I'm just not sure God is right. I'm not sure I believe Him when He says all these evil things about me. God's Word says, I don't care if the whole world don't believe me. That don't make my word any less true. Who are you? Who am I to think that I can depart from the Word of God and get away with it? No way. It won't happen. There's got to be recompense for sin. And the wrath of God certainly abides on the unrighteous in this world. God judges all by the same standards, and I don't have time to go into all the details this morning, but if you read through in verse 16 and on, and verse 17 and on, up to 24, you'll read that He has judged the nation of Israel and the Gentiles both to be guilty. The nation of Israel had a little advantage, and He even admits that in chapter 3 and verse 1. And He'll talk more about it in chapter 9 of Romans later on, in verse 9 and verse 4. But they have basically rejected God. And they're both guilty before God, even the God of righteousness and the God of judgment. And then in verse 25, He talks about circumcision, which we all know is a Jewish practice that's conducted. And He says, it's to no avail. I don't care. It's for the outward appearance. It's not that that counts. What counts is obedience to God. And you're disobedient. And you see, if you're guilty of part of the law, the Bible tells us, you're guilty of the whole law. If you're guilty of some sin, you're a sinner. In God's mind, you're guilty of sin. And the wrath of God abides upon us. But then let's read in verse 3, chapter 3, a little bit. Let's go back down to verse 3 where we read a few moments ago. For what if some did not believe? Are you sitting here this morning and you're saying, well, yeah, but, or, I'm not sure I understand why that's such a bad sin. Or, I'm not sure that I'm really guilty of doing all those things. My friend, it's not me. Don't try to answer to me. It's not you. Don't try to answer to yourself. It's God. The same God that made creation. The same God that made you. The same God that says if you look at those elements, you can see that God is a righteous God. And He has a claim on your life. And you're rejecting it. You're simply turning it aside. I'll put it off a while. It may be wrong, but it's fun. And then I'll come back. Is that just before or just after you drove off the cliff in that car? How do you know? The girl that our brother shot had no idea she was going to die that night. Her parents had no idea that that would be the last time they'd say goodbye. She had no opportunity, I'm sure, to make amends with God. So how are you going to guarantee yourself that you're going to do it? So then this defense team goes on. And he talks about, but if our unrighteousnesses demonstrate the righteousness of God. Whoa. Read that again. Did I see that right? But if our unrighteousness demonstrates the righteousness of God. What shall we say? Is God unjust who inflicts wrath? I speak as a man. That's a foolish statement. I speak as a man. For if the truth of God has increased through my lie to his glory, why am I also still judged as a sinner? And why not say, let us do evil that good may come? As we shall manifest, as we are slanderously reported, and some affirm that we say, their condemnation is just. Man can come up with some weird ideas as to how to make themselves just. But this may be the bottom of the barrel. Don't think for a moment that if you don't believe, don't think for a moment that somehow it's okay. Don't think for a moment that God is in any way unjust in his dealings with you. Maybe right now, maybe today, or maybe in eternity. God is just, and he is able and righteous when he says that he, his wrath abides on the sinner. Then in the next several verses, we have the closing arguments, the summation, if you will, for the prosecution that's always presented in a law case. In verse 9 through 18, we see that summation, and I won't take time to read it because of the clock, and somebody told me they're going to have an ejection button on me this time, so I won't run over like I did last time. So, anyway, are some better than others? No. Don't think yourself better than me, and I can't think myself better than you. We're all the same. We're all guilty. We're all come short of the glory of God. We've all sinned. We're all unrighteous. There is none righteous. None. That's a pretty inclusive word. Or exclusive, depending on how you want to look at it. No, not one. And then he goes on to make a series of quotes from the old scripture to verify his arguments in his case. And again, I won't read them for the sake of time. But then in verse 19 and 20, he gives his summation conclusion. Now we know that whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may be guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, no flesh shall be justified in his sight. By the law is the knowledge that you're guilty. That's the summation, my friends. God has laid it on the table. He's told it like it is. He hasn't cut any shortcuts. If you don't know Christ as your Savior, and we're going to learn more about that in the next element of this study in Romans. But for today, make no misunderstanding about it. We're all unrighteous in ourselves. We're ungodly. And the wrath of God abides upon all who haven't come to know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Shall we pray? Our Father, we thank Thee for this portion of Scripture. Blunt as it is, difficult as it is, hard to read and hard to accept as it is, we thank Thee that God has laid it on the line. That God in these three portions, unlike maybe any other portion in the Scripture, has been very brutally blunt about our natural conditions before Thee. Oh, our Father, we thank Thee that there is a way of escape. The wages of sin may be death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, His Son. We give Thee thanks. Amen.